More of Like Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. There are some writers out there who not only draw readers in with creative plots, but with creative use of words. For adults, that might include Jasper Ford's Thursday Next series or Terry Pratchett's Discworld books. And generations of kids have grown to love wordplay thanks to books like Norton Juster's 1961 classic, The Phantom Tollbooth.
More recently, middle grade and young adult readers have been delighted by the books of a writer whose name itself evokes a love of wordplay, the delightfully named Pseudonymous Bosch, whose latest book, The Unbelievable Oliver, is for younger readers and who may or may not be related to the Raphael Simon whom I met at Boswell Book Company recently. Thanks so much for taking a few minutes to talk.
It's a pleasure. I've been dug out of my cave to go on a book tour, having to see hundreds of children at a time. So this is a break and much more like my daily life just to talk to one person in one place.
Well, very nice of you to say. You've been writing books as Pseudonymous Bosch for more than 10 years at this point, right?
The first book was in 2007. That was the name of this book, A Secret. And I guess that's 12 years. My math is not strong, but I think that's about right. I started it a little earlier. It was a book that took a long time because I started writing it spontaneously for a fourth grade girl in installments through the mail. And then it took a long time to actually turn it into a book and then for me to become a book author after that.
What happened to cause you to start writing this book in installments for a fourth grade girl through the mail?
Well, I was literally forced to volunteer at this girl's school by her mother, who was a good friend of mine. Volunteering not usually being in my nature. And at the time, I was a kind of struggling screenwriter / journalist / whatever. And I was going to send her some writing through the mail. That was the idea, but I didn't have anything to send because we were called Writing Partners. That was the name of the program. So I started to write a novel and I couldn't even think of a title initially. I was so blocked. And then I thought, wait, I know why I don't know the name of the book. It's because the name of this book is Secret. It kind of went on from there. My secret identity, Pseudonymous Bosch, sort of sprung out of that as well.
Well, I was going to ask whether there was a moment that you remember that name coming to you.
This girl, May was her name, wasn't supposed to know who I was. And she might have recognized the name Raphael Simon, which I haven't used since. So I had to come up with something else. And, some people might realize that Pseudonymous Bosch is a play on Hieronymus Bosch, the painter. I try not to talk about that with children because, especially the young ones, I don't necessarily want them looking close at the paintings and then, getting hate mail from their parents.
Well, and it is a little fun to think of the challenges that your young readers probably have in going to the library desk and asking for and trying to pronounce Pseudonymous for starters.
Well, sure. And with the name of this book, A Secret, that was a lot of who's on first, I think, with some of the librarians trying to find the book.
Well, and the kicker to this, right, is that the fourth grader became your agent. Is that right?
No, no, but actually my agent, funnily, is somebody I went to school with. So it's close.
Well, and so I guess the question is, because you've been this kind of struggling writer over the years leading up to that point, do you feel like writing books as Pseudonymous Bosch, writing this first book, kind of creating an alter ego helped you find your voice in some way?
Oh, absolutely. It allowed me to kind of think of myself as a character, and it was much more freeing and less self-conscious than it might have been for me to be embarking on writing a novel as Raphael Simon. I felt I could be silly. I could even be more serious than I might be without feeling or be pretentious, and I wasn't self-conscious about it. And it turned out to be the right thing for me at the time.
And the things like the puns and the wordplay, you kind of flow naturally out of Pseudonymous in a way that they would feel self-conscious if they were coming out of Raphael?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think anybody, when you go on stage, you're a different person than you are off stage, and it's sort of the same kind of thing.
Do you feel like, is the book your stage? Is the printed word your stage in some way?
Yes, I can use that as a very smooth transition to The Unbelievable Oliver.
Well, absolutely. Talk because The Unbelievable Oliver obviously is obviously if you've read it, skews a little bit younger, but there's clearly there's a Pseudonymous Boschness to it as well.
Right. I tried to be a little simpler. And in the earlier Secret Series books, there's a lot of authorial interjection, footnotes, you know, breaking of the fourth wall. There's a little bit of that in a kind of more simplified way in Oliver. And because the intention here was to write a book that was a little bit easier to read, a little shorter, had more pictures. It sort of comes out of how the origin of the book, which is sort of twofold. There's a kind of twofold story to that. The first is that as a pseudonymous anonymous author like myself, you are subjected to many rumors. My readers like spread all kinds of stories about me. And one of these rumors, which was a little bit malicious, a little pernicious, was that I did not write my own books. Many of my readers have speculated that not I, but my rabbit, Quiche, writes my books. And I always tell them, no, that's not true. The rabbit is merely my typist, my secretary, and all the ideas are my own. But that got me thinking about the idea of a magician with a rabbit who was the secret brains behind his magic act. And, you know, since I wanted to be a magician when I was a kid and since I write for kids, it was natural that I become a kid magician. So that's how the seed of the story came to be. Because the unbelievable Oliver is a boy magician with a rabbit who is on the lam from Las Vegas. He gets found by Oliver, and Oliver, who's sort of a hapless kid, he and the rabbit, they strike a deal where the rabbit will help him through his act in exchange for, as he says, half the money, or 60-40, right down the middle, as the rabbit says. Anyway, at the same time that this idea was coming to me, I was also dealing with something in my so-called real life, which I have twin daughters who are then around 7 or 8. And I don't know if other writers experience this, but I had a lot of trouble getting my daughters to read. They loved graphic novels and comics and read them compulsively. And I love comics and graphic novels myself. However, well, they didn't have to read my books necessarily, but somebody's. I wanted them, you know, with chapter books, they called the books without pictures, but I just couldn't get them interested. But there was one book called Ivy and Bean that they quite liked. It was shorter than the books that I was giving them and had more pictures. And I thought, okay, well, why don't I try that? So that's how Oliver sort of took that form. And then I had a real stroke of inspiration. I decided to put the girls in the book. So Oliver's friends are these twins who have two dads, just like my twins do. And that really did the trick. Suddenly my daughters were interested in the book and I could get them to read it. So I heartily recommend that to all authors who want their children to be interested in their books. Just put them in the books and you might have a better result.
Well, right. It's funny. You know, people talk about a reader's ability to see themselves in the characters. In this case, they literally are seeing themselves in these characters.
Exactly. And, you know, in fact, they're frustrated that they don't resemble them more perfectly.
Was it a challenge to kind of change that narrative voice a little bit? I will admit at this point that most of the exposure I've had to the Secret series has come from my 11-year-old reading passages from it out loud to me, which he is a fan of doing whatever he's reading, sometimes from the bath. And I'm sure he's glad to hear me saying this right now. But, you know, this is obviously, you were saying, some of the wordplay had to be toned down a little bit. Do you still feel like you're able to be pseudonymous Bosch, even though you're, I guess, writing for your daughters?
You know, it was a little bit of a balancing act, I'll admit. But, you know, with a few exceptions, I'm not thinking of any offhand, but I know there were a few words that we ultimately took out because maybe they were too polysyllabic or what have you. But, you know, it's a truism in the children's lit world that you're not supposed to talk down to your audience. And that goes for when you're writing books for 3- and 4-year-olds as well as 7-year-olds or 8-year-olds or 9-year-olds. So I try not to do that and to think of my books, and that started with the Secret series because of the way that first book was written, as kind of a conversation with my readers. And that's been true over the years as my readership has grown and I've gotten lots of emails from kids. There's a real back and forth in my mind, and the books are almost collaborations, sometimes almost literally. I might say borrow or be inspired by some ideas that some kids have given me. And then with this, obviously, I was thinking about my daughters and you know, some younger kids more generally. And what I find, I guess I'm saying, is that if you think really about who you're speaking to, It almost happens naturally.
Well, and you mentioned that the characters, these are Bee and Teeny, in the book have two dads, just like your daughters do in real life. They're also gay grandfathers in your other books, I think. You wrote in the New York Times a few years ago about the realization that in writing about secrets in your books, you might have been writing all along about being gay. Since that essay, have you gained any more clarity about where that part of you figures in your writing?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, that was coming from a place of kind of introspection where I was feeling a little bit uncomfortable about writing under a pseudonym and feeling like that was putting me back in the closet, even though I'd come out of the closet, you know, as a freshman in college many years ago. But then I kind of looked back at my books and thought, gosh, you know, I thought I wasn't putting much of my gay experience into this, but so much of what being a young gay person or a kid is often in this country and around the world about having a secret. And here I wrote this entire series about having a secret. So it felt true to me. And, you know, I'm still thinking about what a kind of post coming out as Raphael Simon writing career might be. So I'm not sure exactly what's next.
But at the same time, it has to be kind of fascinating as a writer to have enough material out there that you can go back and kind of learn something about yourself from considering the bulk of what you've written.
Yeah, I mean, on a slightly lighter note, I had a kid ask me today, and this is, I've seen so many kids over the years and been asked so many questions, and I don't think anyone's ever asked me this before. He said, "Do you ever look at your old books and see something that you would like to change?" And of course, the answer to that is yes, all the time. You know, I know a lot of readers won't even read their own books for that reason. And the actors won't watch their own movies. I don't have that much self-control. I do occasionally look at my own and see. So, you know, and it's interesting with the grandfathers in particular. You mentioned the gay grandfathers. You know, it was important. My first book was in 2007. It was a slightly different world out there. It was important for me to have some gay characters. But frankly, I was a little bit timid, I think, about the way I portrayed it. And I don't think I wasn't explicit that they were a couple or that they were gay. And I think unless you were from a world, probably mostly a coastal world, I'm going to say, you know, LA, New York, San Francisco, where at that time it was much more common to have gay couples and gay families around, I don't think you would have picked up on it. I think I would write that differently now.
Well, and in the new book, I mean, the characters aren't even really in the book so much as they are referenced in the book. But again, you're dealing with kind of a younger audience. But what you've done seems like it feels very normal.
Yeah, and it's true that we were joking about my daughters wanting to be seen in the book, but all kids want to be represented, and just the way that you would want to represent kids from different ethnic backgrounds, different racial backgrounds, different, you know, religions, whatever. There are also kids who grow up in gay families, and you want to represent them in that same sort of cultural way. In a sense, it's not about, you know, the fathers themselves aren't necessarily important characters. It's just important to know that this is how these girls grew up, and that's their experience, the same way that Oliver is obviously Jewish and has to go to Hebrew school.
Right, and I was actually just going to point that out. He makes a reference early on in the book to going to Hebrew school, but I think there's really not much more beyond that makes the case that he's Jewish. But someone who's Jewish and reads that book, you know, automatically feels like, oh, this is somebody I recognize.
Right, and we tried, and then, you know, and even less explicitly, but there are other characters of color in the book who are drawn that way, even if they're not written that way, and It's hard to really, you know, represent everybody, and certainly in every book, and you don't necessarily want to, because then you can misrepresent people. But over time, I've realized just how important it is for kids to see characters like themselves or a world that they can imagine themselves in. Otherwise, it's can be an alienating experience. They're not going to love reading. They're not going to get that. So much of reading for kids is about learning who they are. And I, you know, one of the things I think about writing for kids is that it's about self-discovery. Where often writing for adults is more about a vacation for the, you know, it's discovering something else, discovering something outside themselves, discovering the world. But kids are, in a sense, are still discovering themselves.
What an interesting point. Well, Raphael Pseudonymous Simon Bosch, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure. Best of luck to you, and hope we'll get a chance to talk again down the road.
Thank you. It's been a joy for me as well.
Raphael Simon, who writes under the name Pseudonymous Bosch, is the author of several books for young readers, including the name of this book, is Secret.
His latest book is for a slightly younger demographic. It's called The Unbelievable Oliver, and he was in Milwaukee recently. To talk about it, we met up with him at Boswell Book Company.